Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find three separate speaker feeds with over 200 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a special place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Colleen.
I'm Colleen, recovering compulsive eater and bulimic.
Hi, Colleen.
I'm so nervous, I think I'm going to throw up. That's part of my disease, is that I'm not good enough, and all the judgment, I'm sure you don't have any judgment about what I'm going to say tonight, but for me, I have a lot of judgment and criticism, and I have to be perfect. Sorry for the people on the, can't see my photos. I have some photos here, because especially for the newcomers, welcome to the newcomers, and happy birthdays. I remember seeing people take chips and candles really helped me think that I could do it in the beginning. And so my photos really show my weight up and down. People always like numbers. So I've been in program for 7 years. I have currently, I'll be 3 years in July. I don't remember count the months. So 3 years I'll be July for this abstinence. I'm 30 pounds down from my top weight and 20 pounds. Like I have a 50-pound range that I float from. And my experience is that I go up and down, up and down, up and down. And with thank God with this program, my ups and downs aren't 40 pounds, they're maybe 10 pounds. So what it used to be like, what happened and what it's like now, what it used to be like, you know, I just remember hearing other people speak and memories come up in my mind because I cannot remember so many things from when my eating days. I have just this total fog of when I'm eating. And so some memories I have is I was like in second grade and at the time we had school lunch and I would like go around and collect all the cookies from people because they didn't, who didn't want their peanut butter cookie, you know? And so I would have like two or three cookies and I didn't think anything of it. And I remember a teacher or someone saying, you know, you shouldn't be eating those cookies. And like I was an active kid and we didn't have sugar in the house, so I was kind of like hoarding them. But I already felt shame in second grade about my food. So I learned at that age I need to hide the food that I'm going to eat. And so I remember we didn't have a lot of sugar in the house, but every now and then we'd have cookies or Oreos. And I would like take a handful and like stick them underneath my bed covers because I'm not supposed to eat that. You know, I'm not only supposed to have like one at a time. So I remember at a very young age the secrecy began, the shame began, like the whole pattern started. And my brother had a graduation cake, and this is like where I really remember my food just becoming out of control. So if he graduated, I was like in junior high school, and there'd be frozen cake in the freezer, and I would go down and eat two or three pieces while having a piece in the microwave, while having something in the oven, and just trying to like, and it was never like this dainty bite one at a time. Mm-mm. It's just like consume, inhale, and it's down. I mean, like, I would eat like four pieces of cake in like 10 minutes. So, of course, like, the food, the weight started putting on. And I also remembered that in fifth and sixth grade, I started developing, and I was a bit more mature for, like, I had breasts and stuff like that at a very young age. And so I got attention I didn't want. So I started, realized consciously I was doing it, but unconsciously I was putting on weight. I would go home and eat. We had dry pudding because I grew up in Minnesota where there's no like 7-Eleven on every corner, and I didn't have access to the food, so I ate what I could. And we had like these boxes of pudding, and I would eat it dry, or I'd add a little bit of milk, a little bit of water, just enough to make it so I could swallow it down. And so of course I put on weight. So in like fifth and sixth grade, I really put on weight. And people would call me Cal. They're like, hey, Colleen. And actually, that picture of the dog was kind of around that age. Sorry, I have pictures in the thing here. And like, I was never obese, but I was big. I was basically my height, which is 5'10", and heavy set and, you know, stocky kind of person. But I wasn't like 300 pounds overweight. So I learned in like sixth grade, or sixth, you know, seventh grade, okay, boys don't like you if you're fat. And I was, people were calling me Cow. So no matter what size I was, I was always Cow in my head. And so I learned how to diet. And this was back in the day when there wasn't internet where you had to, like, mail order your diet pills. And so I did mail order diet pills in sixth grade. I started with the diet pills, trying to diet. And, you know, I was successful with the diets. I would lose 5 or 10 pounds, but I always put it back on. I always put it back on and more. And then in junior high, like, I learned, like, the sugarless candies had a positive, for no, it wasn't positive, but if you ate lots of them, it had a laxative effect. So, again, like, I didn't have access to the things that people have access here now and nowadays. And so I started buying bags and bags of sugarless candy so I'd have a binge and then, like, you know, be in the bathroom for hours with the cramping and all that stuff. So obviously I'm bulimic. And, you know, I did, I used my finger to, you know, throw up. I remember eating this Easter dinner and, like, going in the bathroom. I just wasn't successful at it. I mean, to my extent, successful. So I was definitely a laxative abuser. I've always been athletic, and that's been a positive thing for me because, thank God, I had some source of sanity. At times, though, I did, now, I wouldn't say abuse exercise, but I would definitely be like, okay, so I just had, you know, 5 pieces of cake. I'm going to, like, have to run for 5 days. And, like, that's my mentality. It's pros and cons. And I remember, like, making charts of how much, like, and of course I would always lose 5 pounds in a week. Whoever does that. But anyways, I would, like, try to lose 5 pounds in a week. And so by the end of the month, I'll be 30 pounds lighter or something like that. These really unrealistic expectations. That's just, like, that just continued on through high school, college, and through my career. And, like, how I got to program was I had to wear these Ann Taylor suits at the time. And people would bring in bags and bags of chocolate. And so, of course, I had to be the perfect employee. And I would stay over work. I would stay, like, work 2 hours extra. So I have no dinner. I have no planning. And people would bring bags of chocolate in. So I would literally eat a bag of M&Ms or a bag of those Hershey chocolates at work and wondering why I'm gaining so much weight. And I gained, like, that. So that's where I got to my top weight. I was near 200 pounds, and if I ever got over 200 pounds, you know, I really thought I would commit suicide because I cannot be fat. And I'm adopted, and so my family's very, they're not petite, but they're blonde, and they don't have the same body shape as I have. And so I grew up in Minnesota where Pamela Anderson is the ideal person, and I don't look like that. For those who can't see me, I have dark hair and dark eyes, and so I was never considered pretty. I was never considered the type people wanted to date, and so my bulimia just got really out of control. And so I would also take other medicines. I don't want to give anyone ideas, but I'm in the health field, so I knew if you take certain medicines, some things have certain side effects, and so I would do that. Like, the damage I've done to my body, and today it works, and it's amazing, absolutely amazing. So I broke out my Ann Taylor pants, and so I decided, you know, this time I'm going to do something about it. And little side note, take what you like and leave the rest. I'm not endorsing any products or anything like that. I'm just telling you my story. And so I went to Weight Watchers, and what I learned at Weight Watchers was portion control. Like, a bowl of cereal is not a vat of cereal. It's like a cup of cereal. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm eating like 10 times the serving size. And so that actually led to me to understand portions and, you know, eating potato chips in a single size serving, not a bag of potato chips. But again, as usual, no matter what plan or scheme I have at the moment, I always gained weight. Something happened that I just can't do it anymore. And that's how I found OA. And thank God I did. I was at my bottom. Like, I could not handle, like, eating and binging and again and, like, the cookies and all that. So I came to OA in, like, 2003, and I got a sponsor, and, like, I became abstinent, and I was abstinent for 4 years. And what I did at the time was, and again, this is just my experience. I don't like sometimes sharing what my abstinence and things are because people are like, oh, I have to do that. Do what works for you. I found out what works for me. And so for me, I knew I couldn't eat sugar. Sugar for me, like cookies, pastries, you know, anything that looks like a sweet dessert, I just can't do it because I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to eat it like a lady. I still don't know how to eat it like a lady. And so I did that, no sugar and no purging for 4 years. And my life got so big. I have friends in program. I could travel around the world. I went to the South Pacific, Asia, and Europe, and I was abstinent. And program gave me that opportunity to experience life on life's terms. However, in Switzerland, I was a nanny for a woman, and she was like a Nazi. Like, you have to have the towels straight, and you have to have, like, the spices turned a certain way. And I have a photograph of it. It had 14 things I had to do to how to clean the kitchen every day. And I learned that doesn't work for me. And so I would people please. I would bend over backward. I would do my best every day to make her happy. And I would sit down with her and say, you know, listen, I'm really trying to do what you're asking me to do. And, you know, your kids are healthy. They like me. And they're safe. You know, to me, that's kind of the basic thing of what a nanny does. And she wanted, you know, me to, like, and light housekeeping was included. And she wants me to move the furniture and vacuum and mop the floors. I'm sorry, that's not light housekeeping. And so how I dealt with it was eating. And I started going back to my bad behavior of standing at the sink and eating, sneaking the cookies, like one cookie here, one cookie there. And in Switzerland, everything closes at 6 o'clock. So the behavior of, you know, eating your roommate's cookies and going out down the store and buying another package and eating it down to where it was before she'd recognize, that was really hard to do in Switzerland because everything was closed. And if you buy one thing at one store, it's not at the next one. And, like, my life became insane again, like trying to eat number of cookies. They didn't have the package that they had. And so I slipped. You know, and I purged, and in Switzerland at the time, the nearest meeting was 40 miles away in Zurich, and it was one meeting a week on a Sunday, and I wasn't working, so I didn't have the $40 for the train ride, and I had to do it. Like, I put it on the credit card, and I got to meetings, and I got my abstinence back in 3 days, and I really owe it to Alex, in Zurich, the meetings were in German, and she translated what everyone was saying so I could understand. And, she, you know, I stayed overnight at her house a few times because the train rides were late and things like that. And, like, that's what program has taught. You know, I received so much from that, and I got my abstinence back. So July 1st is my abstinence date. And, if I'm willing, God's always willing. It's not me. It's my will who gets in the way if I'm abstinent or not. And, and I'm just so grateful for this program. So going back to, like, behaviors and stuff like that, what really helped me is the red light, yellow light, green light foods. If you're new, it's kind of like write down your foods that you can eat, like, lady, basically. If you eat it with dignity and grace. Broccoli, no problem. You're on the green list. For me, yellow light foods are bagels. And, like, I remembered something else, like raisins and stuff like that. Like, I can eat them, but I can't keep bagels in my house. Because if they're in my house, I eat the whole package in 2 days. Like, that's not sane eating, in my opinion. And for me, that's not sane eating. So there's a lot of, like, pastas and things like that. I can eat them. I just can't keep them in my house. Red light foods for me are the cakes, cookies, pies, basically desserts, you know, anything with sugar in it. And that's what works for me. And I know very clearly what's going to work for me. And sometimes a yellow light food has to be moved to the red light food. And power bar or protein bars is something I had to put on the red light food. Like, every now and then I could eat it like a lady, but sometimes I eat three in a row. Like, that's not eating with dignity. And so some of those things are moving back and forth. And I also had to do was look at my behavior. Like, as a bulimic, like, eating in the car, eating fast, eating at the sink, eating in the bathroom at work. Who does that? Me. You know? Stalking the chocolate bunny in the break room. Like, I would just go back for break off the arm, go back again and do that. Like, I am a compulsive overeater to the core. Like, I am. And so eating in the bathroom, I mean, like, it's insane. And, like, the secrecy and what, those are some things that help me look at, am I doing those behaviors, what's going on? And so what my abstinence now is no purging. And I put no sugar on my food plan. My food plan is, I work nights. I work the night shift. And so I don't have a very rigid plan. I have found out that rigid does not work for me. Some people need discipline. That triggers my bulimia, triggers my control. And so I work night shifts. So some days I eat like four small meals, and my days off, I kind of eat more like three meals. But basically, I try to have a protein, starch, and a vegetable at every meal and focus on what I can have. I can have, like, vegetables and fruits and stuff like that, and no purging. And so for me, I had to put no sugar on my food plan, because if I put it on my abstinence list, then I probably will slip and go into bulimia. So it's kind of like being less rigid but having some control. And so I tell myself, just for today, I'm not having sugar. And I remember I was here a couple weeks ago and someone asked, how do you deal with not eating sugar? And I'm like, I can have it later. I can have it at the next meal. I can have it tomorrow. And that really works for me. If I'm really wanting the food, it's like, you can have it later. So what it's like now, again, I work night shift, so I don't have, like, this very rigid plan. It doesn't work for me. Lately, I've been awake at 2 in the morning, and so I do my praying then. I wake up, I read the white book just for today. I say the first three steps, and I put words into them that work for me. Like, I am powerless over food, and my life is unmanageable. I am powerless over my job. I am powerless over X. And my life is unmanageable, because I need to hear, I have to make it work for me. Step two is we could believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. It restores me to sanity, like, I am not using laxatives today. I am not eating in the bathroom today. So I'm like, even if I had a bad food day, like, it's still not nearly as bad before I came in. And three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And if there's something like today's meeting, I was nervous about, like, okay, God, I'm turning over my will and my life to you. Show me what I need to do and give me the strength and courage to do it. And I do that every day. And sometimes I pray in bed. Sometimes I pray in the shower. If some mornings I get up and I am bolting out the door for whatever things, I can pray in the car. God can hear me wherever I am. And if you're new, don't let the God thing scare you. For me, my higher power is nature. It's the ocean. When I go surfing, I see the dolphins. I mean, that is where I feel so at peace, and I know, like, everything's going to be all right. And so don't let the God thing freak you out. Just keep coming back. And if you don't get anything from my share today, someone else will have parts of your story or something else you can relate to. So please keep coming back. What else I do is I read whatever. Well, I try. This is kind of now like what I do when I'm not working. There's a little prayer book and it has all the prayer books in it. So I'm on step 11. So I read the 11th step prayer every day. And then I meditate. And some days it's for 2 minutes. I set my watch and I do it for 2 minutes and I just focus on my breathing. On my perfect day would be like 10, 15 minutes. Like, what I've learned being in program is, like, not being so rigid works for me. And doing the best I can and being gentle with myself. I had shoulder surgery a year ago, and I'm still not back to surfing and swimming. Like, I can only swim 500 meters, which for me is nothing and drives me insane. But I'm learning to be gentle. Like, get in the pool, do your 500, and that's it. And not to push it too much. Like, I just went back to yoga, and I can't do all the chaturangas and downward dogs because I can't put the weight on my shoulder. And so for the first time in my life, I get to be gentle and saying, okay, for today, I'm not doing it. I'll do what I can, or do child's pose or whatever. And that's a blessing of this program. I would have a million injuries. I would be bleeding out through my stomach if I would have been where I was before I came into program. Just thank God for the program. I call my sponsor. My sponsor has a huge life, and she doesn't have as much time as I can, but I make it every week. I find a time to call her because my schedule changes every week. I have no idea when I'm working every week. So I say, okay, well, I can call you on Fridays at noon. And so, like, I make a point to call her on Fridays at noon. And she's so gentle with me. And she's like, oh, you're doing, you know, like, she's like my big sister that I never had. And she can point out what I'm doing right. And my disease is of negativity and what I'm doing wrong, what I'm not doing right. And by the way, I'm criticizing all of you, too. So my sponsor gently reminds me, is like, what are you doing right today, you know? And if all I did was pray, that's fine. You know, if I ate an abstinent meal, that's fine. I don't have to have this, you know, list of 14 things that are how I run my program perfectly. I go to meetings, and again, like, my schedule doesn't allow me to have a certain number of meetings every week, so I go and I, like, look at the meeting list and, like, okay, what can I get to this week and go. I'm in another program. I go to Al-Anon, and I won't say any more about that, but that has also helped me. And so I hit minimum of three meetings a week, and that's what I do. I do sponsor people. Currently, I'm not sponsoring anyone, probably because of my schedule. People don't like calling me at 5 in the afternoon or whatever works for my schedule. And I've recently, I kind of was back into the sugar over the holidays, and I really, I met now my ex-boyfriend's parents and had to go home. And, having to look good was so important to me. And so, again, it's like I always think that I have to be perfect for people to like me. And so I gained some weight because the food still works for me. Bottom line is I'm still a compulsive eater. The food still works for me. And that's why I keep coming back. So I kind of put on some weight that I don't want to have. And so I went on a diet. And that's another thing I can't do is I can't diet. And sometimes my sponsor says, well, you have to take your own adventures and figure that out for yourself. So I tried the diet, didn't lose it, of course, gaining weight because I'm someone who cannot diet. So how I need to, I just talked to my sponsor the other day and she was like, do you have any commitments? I'm like, okay. So you focus on the problem gets bigger. If you focus on the solution gets bigger. And for me, the solution is working the program. So I got a commitment at one of my meetings. And, calling newcomers, just doing one more thing is going to help me work my program. And it's not about losing weight. And I know, today I put a dress on and I have to act as if. And I have to act as if I look like $1 million, act as if I don't care how much I weigh. I am not a slave to the scale. The gravitational pull to the earth is not the measure of myself, even though my disease will let me think that. My disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it will drag me down any chance it gets. And so I really, really have to work on listening to my higher power. My higher power speaks through you guys. I hear it in program. I hear it. I really feel centered in nature, and so I have to go out and sit in the park or go surfing and just sit on the board and really feel connected to my higher power. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for asking me to share. And I will open it up for questions. Thank you. Yeah, in the back.
Yes, my name is Daniel. And,
hi, Daniel.
I'd like to know, when you are in a mindset because of your schedule, when you have a day off like today, how do you deal with it? I assume that you have a day off.
Yeah. The question was, how do I deal with my day off?
Yeah, because you like to work in the evening because it's not, it doesn't trigger.
No, I work the night shift. I work 7 p.m. to 7:30 a.m., and that's what my job is.
But it doesn't trigger you, it doesn't stress you out to overeat or...
Oh, does my job trigger me to eat? Yes, it does. Working nights doesn't trigger me, it's the food that people bring in. They bring in cookies and candies and all that stuff. And how I try to do it is I pray before I go to work and ask to be help me with my abstinence.
So how do you deal with it today?
Oh, today? This morning.
You're not in that same schedule.
Yeah.
Right now.
I eat when I'm hungry, sleep when I'm tired. And I really listen to my body. And this morning I was up at 5, which is kind of early, so I got to do my prayer meditation. I went to a yoga class this morning, and then I came back and made breakfast, and then I took a nap. And I get to listen to my body today, and I don't force my body to do things. Thank you.
Yeah. You talked about the prayer part, and tell us a little bit more about that, and how you do step 11.
So how do you step? The question was, how do I do step 11 on a daily basis? There's a list of prayers somewhere, I have it in a book of mine, of each step, and I read the step 11 prayer, which is basically remove me of self-will, thinking, and be of service, be a channel of peace. I also say the St. Francis of Assisi prayer. I just sit quietly on my couch, and I start breathing, and then say, okay, what's tense? Focus what's intense in my body and try to relax it. I try to relax my eyes, relax my jaw, and kind of do from head to my feet. And then it's kind of a mixture of different things. I did some meditation in Thailand, and so I learned Vipassana. So I kind of do a mixture of that. I also, like, what do I hear at 5:30 in the morning? There's birds usually, so I can hear the birds. I listen to my breath. I feel, I kind of relax and feel what's in my body. And if my mind is just spinning, I just count, I count to 20 breaths. Breathe in and breathe out up to 20. And I kind of mix it up, but that's kind of what I do. I can explain more in person if you'd like.
Great.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
When you get your yellow light itches, I know you said a few things that you do, but what works for you in your thinking and feeling when you know that you're getting itchy on a yellow light food and you're having craving? Or
the question was, when do I get itchy on a yellow light food? Usually it hits me after I've eaten it. Like, and it depends on the thing. If I'm in a good space, I can eat anything other than sugar and not be affected by it. It's usually when something is unconsciously aware, I'm unconscious that something's bothering me. And so I go to the yellow light foods. I eat, you know, non-bread, and I usually eat too many of it. And so I usually call my sponsor and say, you know, this is what, I've had too many non-breads today. And so what I try to do is for 30 days, try not to eat that item. And then I can, if I feel like I'm in a good space, I can eat it again. Sometimes something, I can move back into the yellow light. Something stay in, like for now, protein bars are still in my red light. Like, I don't know, when this is hungry, angry, lonely, and tired are my biggest problems with red light and yellow light foods. So if I'm one of those things, I'm in trouble. If I'm two of those things, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm hungry and I'm wanting, I'm usually hungry and tired is usually when I'm overeating. Not necessarily compulsively overeating, but I'm overeating, or I'm so tired and just want to eat and eat fast. And, like, I use those as cues as, you know, my behaviors and my yellow foods, what's going on, and say, okay, I need to talk to God and slow down and ask for help. Does that answer the question?
I was wondering about your, like, when you're having the thoughts and the feelings, you know, like, is it something you say to yourself, or something that, like, not that you call your sponsor, but, you know, sometimes, like, you don't want to call your sponsor.
Mm.
You know, like, what's your...
When I'm in the food, what's going on?
Yeah, when you think for bagels and the non-bread, like, what's your self-talk, you know, to actually get from that to your sponsor, or that to a meeting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes your thoughts are, like...
So how do I deal with my thoughts and getting away from that? I think it kind of uses the same thing as the sugar. Like, I can have it later. I can have it at the next meal. And it's not really a trick, but it is sort of, because if I deny myself it, I want it more. If I'm forcing a solution, if I'm trying to force something, that doesn't work for me as well. So I try to, like, okay, I can have it later. Like, if I want to buy it and put it there and eat it later, or don't buy it at all. Sometimes I have to be like, okay, I can't buy the bagel today, and just make a choice. Like, that's not helping. That's not going to work for me. And sometimes I remember, like, the food, like, that's not the solution. The solution is, you know, program a higher power. Sometimes I have to learn the lesson the hard way. I eat it, I overeat it, and I, you know, realize, like, that doesn't work for me. And one thing I've learned in programs, if I beat myself up, I don't get the lesson, you know? So I had an extra bagel today, or I had two bagels today. And I had to learn to, like, you know, take it one step at a time. Like, if you get a dent in your car, you don't crash your Ferrari, you know? So, like, I can just, you know, have a dent in my car today and, like, let that go and say, okay, I can start over with my next meal, the next minute. Yes.
At the beginning, you talked about how programs help you kind of stay within that 10-pound kind of normal range. How do you handle, is it a trigger for you when people comment on weight loss or weight gain?
Mm.
And how do you handle that and get gone into the picture
mm-hmm.
and not diet?
Mm-hmm. The question was, how do I
handle
comments about my weight?
Up or down.
Up or down. I worked at an old job and went to the job where I'm working now, and one of my ex-coworkers said, oh my God, you really fluctuate. You know? Because he saw me at my 40 pounds higher than I am now, or then I was a little bit lighter than I am now. How do I handle that? I think when I'm down, I just say, if they're saying, oh, you look nice, I just say thank you. If I'm up, you know, I say, oh, you know, Christmas poundage, you know, kind of blow it off. But emotionally, that's not what I'm saying. Because when I hear, oh, you're up, or gee, you're looking large today, or whatever the comment is, I, you know, emotionally, I go back to when I was in sixth grade and people called me cow. And so I have a really hard time with that, actually. What do I do? I guess I just get to be gentle and loving with myself, you know, and do something non-food wise. Like, I just got a manicure pedicure. I'm a tomboy, so like for me to do that was kind of big. Or get a massage or call someone and do something loving to myself. In the moment, I kind of just blow it off because they're not worth my sanity. To lose my sanity over their opinion. And so I choose sanity over that. So I guess that's all the time we have. Thanks for letting me share.